Our reading for September 28th has us starting the book of 2 Timothy. This will be the last of Paul's writings that we're covering. As far as we can tell from our timeline that we've been following, this is the last of Paul's writings. And just to give you an idea of the timing here, 2 Timothy would have been written somewhere around AD 65, maybe 66. This would have been about the time of his second imprisonment. And then in AD 67 is when Josephus surrenders to the Romans. Then in 68, Nero commits suicide. And then, as we know, in AD 70 is the destruction of Jerusalem. So just to kind of give you an idea of the timeline along those figures, we can start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Again, this is Paul's second letter that he writes to Timothy. And he writes it with a little bit different tone because of that second imprisonment. And he focuses a little bit on the things that he's suffering for the cause of Christ. But going back to the beginning of the chapter, he introduces himself much the same way that he introduces himself in other letters. He writes to Timothy, his beloved child. We talked about that in the first letter, his relationship with Timothy and his the way that he looked at that relationship in terms of father and son in the faith. And he wishes grace, mercy, and peace from God toward him. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. Now he pulls this in here because he is of that Jewish lineage. And he points to those faithful within that Jewish lineage that followed God. And so he can include them, thanking God as they did with a clear conscience. And it's important that we realize that even though we look at the Old Testament and we see all the condemnation that is coming upon them because they did not stay with God, there was always a remnant. And that's who Paul is talking about. He's talking about a heritage of faith, a heritage of faith in which they stayed with God. So, for example, we're reading through the book of Isaiah in our Wednesday night class, and we're seeing all the terrible things that were going to come upon the people of that time because of the terrible things they were doing in opposition to God. He still mentions that there was a remnant and God would still be with that remnant. So Paul mentions his ancestors pointing toward those that were faithful, and so they could thank God with a clear conscience just as Paul does. And then he says, I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. I think there's a lesson that we could learn from Paul regarding our prayers. I think that, at least for myself, I think that, well, I'm going to fall into kind of a rote behavior with my prayers if I'm always praying the same things, if I'm always praying about the same people. But understand, if those same people are on your mind on a daily basis, then you're going to be praying for them on a daily basis. Just because you pray about the same things today that you did yesterday does not mean that it's automatically vain repetition or rote behavior. So don't knock yourself for that. Just make sure that it's coming from a sincere heart, a clear conscience, and that we are really thinking about these people rather than saying, well, you know, these are the people that are my prayer list, I must pray for them. No, think about what situation they're in and make specific requests for God on their behalf in your personal prayers. Verse 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I don't know exactly what the tears might be, maybe over being separated from Paul. He really doesn't give any insight into what that's going to be about. But we do see that for both Paul and for Timothy, that relationship was so strong that of course they want to see each other. They want to know that both are doing well. And so they're going to have that desire that they might be filled with joy at some sort of a reunion. Verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. And then he points to a heritage of faith that Timothy has as well, that it started with his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and that they taught Timothy from a young age and laid that bedrock that would allow him to build his own faith upon those teachings, and that he is now a faithful servant of God and an evangelist of Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, verse 6, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In other words, don't neglect to use what you've been given. Use it to your best ability. Verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Now, I don't know for sure, but I think that maybe the reason Paul is writing this specific section about God did not give us a spirit of fear was so that Timothy would not see what Paul goes through and then thinks that somehow he might not want to draw attention to himself. I don't know if Timothy really had those thoughts or not, but I think that Paul understood that the future was going to be some tumultuous times, and Timothy needed to be brave, he needed to be strong, and he needed to continue to use that which God had given him. I think we can say the same thing for us today, that we not be caught in the grips of fear, but that we continue to serve God to the best of our ability every single day, utilizing the talents that He has granted to us. Verse 8, based on this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So don't shirk back from it. Accept it. Own up to Christ, own up to me too. Paul's talking about himself. This gospel that was given by the power of God, this God that saved us, that called us to a holy calling, not because we earned it, he says, not because of works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God has done this incredible and wonderful thing, this amazing thing for us. We should not be in the grips of fear, but we should be happy about these things. We should be joyful about these things. And he goes on to say that he gave this in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been made manifest through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher. So this is part of God's plan, that all of this happened, was revealed, that Jesus came, and Paul was appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher in order to declare these things unto others. And verse 12, he says, this is why I suffer, because he does declare those things. And Paul did so boldly. He asked for prayers for boldness, and I believe that he owned up to that, that he lived up to that, that he wanted to be bold, and he was. But at the same time, because Paul left behind that heritage of being a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee and being a persecutor in order to become a Christian, one of those whom he persecuted at that previous time, that he attracted a lot of attention. And that was why he was suffering. But he accepted that. He didn't give a woe is me over it. He didn't cry about it. He simply accepted it, and he accepted that it was worth going through for Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which has been entrusted to me. He's not talking about deliverance. He's talking about the promise of eternal life. So verse 13, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Follow that pattern, and I would take it a step further, knowing who Timothy is and reading all of these writings to Timothy, and say that it's not just follow that pattern of sound words, but teach that pattern of sound words so that others might also follow it. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit that is entrusted to you. Be a faithful steward of the gospel, basically, is what he's saying there. Verse 15, you are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me. This had to be a terrible thing for Paul to watch those who he considered close to him in the faith, and they turned away from him when things got bad, when he had this second imprisonment. And so he makes mention of them, makes mention that all who are in Asia turned away from him. Verse 16, on the other hand, he mentions the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains, in other words, his imprisonment. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. That's some courage there. Now, you and I, we look back and we know that this imprisonment was primarily for Paul, that they didn't start arresting everybody that associated with Paul. But at the time, they didn't know that. And so to search him out could have been, you know, looked upon as putting yourself in danger of being imprisoned as well. Again, I'm interjecting some of my own thoughts there, but I think that's a reasonable thought to have, that he was being courageous in looking for Paul. Verse 18, may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. So somebody that both Paul and Timothy knew and probably worked side by side with, for him to say, you know the work that he did, you know the service that he performed. Thank you for listening today. We'll pick up with chapter 2 tomorrow. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.